Happy holidays. I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. What's that, a little present there for old PC?
There you go, buddy.
Hey, please be a C++ GUI programming guide. Oh, it's a book of photos.
Photos of us. You see, like, all the good times we had this year.
Well, it looks like a lot of work anyway. Thanks.
Actually, no, it was really easy. Just a few clicks in iPhoto.
Well, here's something I got for you.
Oh, whoa. A C++ GUI programming guide. Thanks.
Yeah, I've been eyeing that myself.
Hello, and welcome to Lokasi Bass 30 Plus Minute Op Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Join me today, when not at the Cult of Mac World Headquarters, you'll find him at the pub, having a few ales, and punching out men half his age. Leander Caney is here.
And half my size, of course.
You prefer the latter. Also with us, he's the guy who edits my third grade grammar into the polished prose you've come to expect on Cult of Mac, Lewis Wallace.
Hey, and that's a thankless task.
I don't think I've said thank you once, and I don't plan to. Also with us, he's the Mel Gibson to my Danny Glover. And if I end up on a toilet with a bomb trigger, I know we'd be jumping in that tub together. Buster Heine is here.
Hey.
I just rewatched Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to say.
You guys are like, what the heck?
Can I be like a slightly less racist version of Mel Gibson?
Was he racist in that movie?
Well,
I'm
just,
in the movie.
No, it's real.
Oh. Well, I meant the character. Not the actual Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay.
No. What was his name? Briggs. Danny Glover, right? Murtaugh was Danny Glover.
Yeah.
And you're Briggs.
Yeah.
That just came back to me. Man, those movies are so good. Have you guys watched them recently?
Recently, a long time.
They're outstanding. Still? Oh, they hold up. Beautiful. They're so funny too. You know, every once in a while you run into like the perfect comedy duo. That's them. That's those two guys. They were perfect. They couldn't have found two better actors to be in those movies. And then of course they added Joe Pesci, which
The Joe Pesci was always my favorite.
Yeah. He's the perfect addition to that duo. Lewis, you're being awfully silent over there, which indicates to me that you haven't watched Lethal Weapon ever.
I believe I watched the original somewhere near the
You probably saw it at the movie theater, didn't you?
I was actually alive when that came out.
Yeah. Little Lou was at the movie theater. He had his long ponytail, top of popcorn on a hot date. No?
Yeah, Diet Coke, I'm sure.
Okay, well, let me take a look at the notes here. Oh, my gosh. This is even more surprising than I thought. This is going to be a real banger of a show. We got so much good stuff in here, I completely forgot. Here's what we're going to do this show. So, first of all, we're going to tell you everything you need to know about Apple Pay Cash. And I know we talked about this in the past, but iOS 11.2 is out now, and if you haven't downloaded it, you should, because it includes Apple Pay Cash. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about it. I mean, every single detail, details that you probably don't even want to know, I'm going to tell you, okay?
That's compelling. Can't wait to hear this.
It's going to be at least 30 to 45 minutes of segment, so stay tuned for that.
Detail,
I'd like everyone else to not talk at all while I discuss these very dry details. Let's see here. Oh, man. Almost forgot about this one. How could I? One of the best, most highly anticipated Apple TV apps of 2017 is finally available, and we'll talk about that. You probably all know which one I'm talking about, but I'm trying to tease you so you stay tuned for that. Also, why are we so hard on Apple? We recently received some harsh email from a critic asking that very question, and I say a critic because the person referred to themselves as a listener, but they've only listened to the very first episodes like 6 years ago, and then they stopped, and then they came back and decided they still didn't like us, and then sent us a very mean email. And the guy was actually kind of a dick, but he made some valid points.
Let's read that out.
I don't even know where it is.
I got it right here.
Oh, do you really? Yeah, he wasn't very nice. But he did make some valid points, and I was like, you know what? This will be interesting. Let's talk about it, because I do feel like sometimes we are hard on Apple. But I don't think we're too hard on Apple by any means. I mean, certainly not Leander. Leander has never said an ill thing about any of their products ever. If anyone is to blame, it has to be me and Buster. So we'll talk about that. and then we're going to wrap up with our favorite gadget of 2017. We've been doing this series where we talk about all of our favorite stuff. Last episode, we did our favorite movies. So if you haven't caught that, you should go back, because for the first time since we've done that segment, I didn't come away from the show thinking, oh, dude, you know, there's there's like eight different things I should have said, and I shouldn't have pitched the movies that I pitched. And I think we actually did a really good job coming up with a nice, well-rounded list of all the best movies that we saw. So that was last week. This week, we're doing all our favorite gadgets. Now, this is not going to include our Apple gadgets because we're going to be doing best Apple gadget of 2017 before the end of the year. I'm not sure exactly when we'll be doing that, but it's upcoming. So this is just our favorite gadgets of 2017. Let's see here. Before we jump into the fun, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com. Go check it out. Do you need a website? Squarespace.com. Are you starting a new business? Are you wanting to start a blog? Squarespace.com. Squarespace has beautiful websites that are easy to set up, and they're constantly adding new features. They just added 8 new templates for you to use when you're building your website. And you just choose a template. You can customize it if you want and make it look uniquely yours, or you can just launch it and you'll have a website up in minutes. The website scales to look great on tablets, phones, and computers. And every template has been thoughtfully designed to make your ideas pop and stand out. Plus, they have a brand new analytics app for your iPhone that puts the power of desktop analytics right in your hand. You can monitor traffic trends and visitor activity, keep tabs on key sales metrics like top products. They also recently added customer accounts. So if you want to start an e-commerce website, your customers can set up an account, and that allows them to have their own unique login. They can save payment and shipping details, and they can also view their order history. So very useful if you want to start an e-commerce website. Go to squarespace.com if you want to check it out. Start a free trial. You get 2 weeks. Build a website. See how you like it. And if you decide you want to continue your service after 2 weeks, use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get 10% off your first order, CULTCAST at checkout. Plus, you'll get a free domain name and an additional discount if you buy a year of service at squarespace.com. Okay. Leander, let's talk about, before we jump into everything, let's talk about iPhone X, the delivery times.
Right, yeah. So delivery times on the iPhone X have dramatically improved. All the iPhone models are now available on the online store showing delivery for just a week. And that's down from 2 to 3 weeks just 2 weeks ago. So if you're looking for an iPhone X for Christmas, you can pick one up. It's only a week.
You can probably just roll into the store and get one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's pretty amazing, how they've managed to improve the supply. You know, I mean, when it was like 4 to 5 weeks when they initially launched, then 2 to 3, which means you would probably miss Christmas, and now just down to a week. So it sounds like they're ramping it up.
It's very suspect, Leander. It's very suspect to me.
You think?
Oh, my gosh. This whole thing is proving itself to be a giant farce. There was never going to be a shortage. They were not having component issues, as we talked about. I think this entire thing was leaked.
Up by Cook.
It was all leaked by Apple marketing to the press, undoubtedly to the Loop. And they had us all in a fervor for absolutely no reason to just ginny up some demand on the new phone. Because this happens every year, and this year is the most obvious, where it was supposed to be, oh, you're not going to be able to get one of these for 6 months. You're going to have to stab somebody and take their iPhone X. And look, here we are. How long has the iPhone X been out now? 4 weeks? Not even 4 weeks. And you can get one in a week. Or you could probably, I'm going to guess, you could probably just roll into a store and just grab one.
Well, Lewis, the last time you checked, didn't they have them all in stock in all the local Bay Area stores? Or most of the models?
Well, I looked today. And yeah, most of the models are available if you walk in.
Dang.
Which makes me a little bummed out because I bought the lesser.
Well, can't,
lesser
is it too late to return it now?
Of course.
Yeah,
perfect
you get
timing.
2 weeks.
Thanks, Tim. Why are we so hard on Apple?
Yeah. Well, we'll tell you because they do this kind of crap. I kind of wish I'd gotten the 256 too, Lewis.
Yeah, it's just a nervous feeling,
guys.
Isn't it?
Told
it's
you.
Just a nervous feeling. I don't like sitting there going, what if I download this app and it's just too big?
That's literally the voice he makes to you, by the way.
It's not just in my head.
Excuse me, sir. He's just sitting next to someone on the bus. Yeah. You know, my wish for the 256 is not for any other reason other than I'm having these iCloud problems with my photo library and they're still not resolved. And by the way, I've had more people than I would have expected reach out to me on Twitter and say they have the exact same problems that I'm having with my iCloud photo library. Mm-hmm. And some of them, the problems are still not resolved, which is troubling. And so for me, I thought it would be nice to have the 256 because if you needed to, you could just have all of your photos living on one device all the time, which I don't have a device that has enough space to do that right now. So that's why I wanted it. But Buster, did you ever go pick one up, or are you still on the fence?
Still not going to pick one up, yeah.
You're going to hold out for the X Plus.
Yeah, probably.
Uh-huh. That's what I would recommend, too. Okay, so if you want an iPhone X, you can get one right now. You don't have to injure anyone or steal one from somebody in a 7-Eleven parking lot. They're widely available, okay? Let's talk about Apple Pay Cash. So one of my most anticipated features of this year, Apple Pay Cash, makes it easy to send payments to people who have an Apple device. Finally, it's available, iOS 11.2. I've had the feature for a while because I've been on the beta, but I didn't have anyone I could send money to or get money from, preferably, because no one is using the beta. Well, now it's available to everybody who updates to iOS 11.2. So here's how you use it. You probably know some of the details, but this is the entire story. So it's an app that you use via the Messages app, right? So you open Messages, and you set up a message to somebody, and in the bottom of the screen, you'll have an Apple Pay logo. And you click on that, and then you can send money to that person if you have two-factor authentication turned on. And if that person is running iOS 11.2, then you can send them money, okay, or receive money from them. You can also use your Apple Pay Cash card, which lives in the Wallet app. It's a new card that you get, which is very fancy and shiny. And you can use that to make payments via Apple Pay if you want to, but I don't see why you would. And if someone makes a payment to you, you can go to the Wallet's app and you can transfer that money to a bank account. So you don't have to have the money live on the card, which is where it will live if you don't, you know, transfer the money somewhere else. You can add cash to your card in the Wallet app. The minimum is $10. You just go into the Apple Pay Cash card in the Wallets app, and there's a little eye down at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. You click on that, and you can add cash to the card if you want. Oh, there are no fees. A lot of people are getting this confused. If you use a debit card to pay someone, there isn't a fee, but if you use a credit card, it will be 3%. You can also send money to people via Siri if you want to attempt to try to do that, I should say. You'll end up sending it to someone who sounds like the person that you were trying to send money to, and you'll never receive a refund because they're not going to give you a refund. And you can send and receive a minimum of $1 per transaction, up to $3,000. And you can receive and send up to $10,000 in any 7-day period. So if you want to go out there and get 1 to 2 kilos of Colombia's finest, you could do that. And you can pay much easier now. You don't have to use cash and carry, because who wants to carry up a wad of cash in their coat, right? That's not right. Safe. Landon, did you have anything to add? I thought I heard you trying to pipe in.
No, I was, the Siri thing, I was kind of incredulous about that. Can't wait to try that one out.
I feel like Siri's gotten worse. I don't know if that is true for everybody, but especially the dictation. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day about how bad the dictation is now. And I don't know if it's always been this bad or if it's gotten worse recently, but I feel like it's almost unusable now. It constantly gets so much stuff wrong that I've almost completely given up using it, because what happens is you turn on dictation, you tell it to type a certain message, and it gets it so wrong, immediately my blood starts boiling and I become furious. And then I have to go through and delete the whole thing and type it out by hand.
That's not strictly Siri, right? That's dictation.
Yeah, but it happens in Siri and it also happens in dictation. Yeah, just misunderstands what I say. Yeah.
It mixed bag for me, you know, like it works perfectly for, routine stuff, set a timer, set an alarm, that kind of stuff.
Like command-based stuff.
Yeah, and I was really, what did I do? I gave it a command the other day, and it was kind of complicated. Send a text to, my brother, this, that, and the other at a certain time, blah, blah, blah. And the thing worked perfectly. I was kind of flabbergasted.
Wow. Were you speaking more slowly and enunciating better than you normally?
It wasn't that deliberate.
Had you had maybe several ales and you were just relaxed and speaking very slowly? My brother.
No, it was it was under normal circumstances, and I was surprised that it worked really well. But then but like you, then you ask it to do something and it gets all completely horribly right. Like I was trying to get it to play some music the other day and it got it all horribly wrong and.
Right.
It is frustrating. But I feel like
it was working really well for a while. When I had my iPhone 7 Plus, I don't know if this is because I had my 7 Plus or if I was just using an earlier version of iOS. I feel like it was actually pretty reliable. But in the last I don't know, 3-4 weeks, maybe longer. It's infuriating. It's back to making me mad again. So unless you speak like this, and then it knows what to say.
Do you think you're using it more?
Like a robot. Unless I'm trying to be funny. What, Lewis?
You think it might be because you're using it more?
Maybe.
I mean, I use it quite a bit for just talking in Slack and things like that, using an iPad or iPhone. And what I find is it does work pretty great, but you get kind of so used to using it that you just start to slack off about where the phone is or where the iPad is. And you know, I mean, mic placement does have an effect on how well it hears. Plus, you just start kind of, you know, talking faster and, you know, more natural. And I think it's, I don't know. I can't tell if it's actually getting worse or if it's just I'm getting so much more used to using it. But because I've noticed the same thing. What I find infuriating about it, tell me if you've ever seen this. I have it, I start using the dictation and I say something and I watch it. I watch it change what it thinks I said from
getting
it right to something that's wrong.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. It's like it's thinking
too much.
So it gets
it right the first time, and then it goes through, and it's like, nope, 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 yeah. nope, and it changes it to something completely ridiculous.
I think that is kind of new bad behavior. I see that more often than not. And I sent a text message to somebody the other day, and it was perfect. It had it exactly right as I was looking at it, and then when I hit send or whatever, I look at it, it's just like changed it to something else. I'm like, what?
Is that autocorrect? Is it, you know, getting in there and mucking it up, changing effing to ducking?
It's weird, right? I mean, you start to think of this all as Siri, but is it really Siri? I don't know. What exactly is Siri?
And iOS 11, we were just talking about this before the start of the show. It has had some of these weird quirks where, for instance, there was some character that you could type that would turn into some weird right. A. And I thought that was just a device issue. And it turns out, I read about this yesterday, that it's actually it was a bug in iOS 11 that was affecting a lot of people, if not everybody. And so maybe it's just a Siri bug or a
well, wasn't that a machine learning bug? Wasn't that something that your device learned?
I mean, potentially, but it's happening to Lewis too, and it seems like it's taking sentences that it understood correctly the first time and changing them to something completely whacktaculous that you didn't say at all. So maybe this will be updated in like iOS 11.3 or something.
I have it, you know, I spell my name the right way, L-E-W-I-S.
I prefer, I'm kind of an L-O-U guy myself.
Well, so I've actually said my name. I mean, first off, it should know my name. And I've even gone through like the little tip of how to make it know what your name is, right?
Yeah.
And it's still, if I say, you know, Lewis, I'll watch it there, watch it change from L-E-W-I-S to L-O-U-I-S mm-hmm. to back to L-E-W-I-S to L-U-I-S.
Maybe and then that's what it ends it up on. More phonetically, so instead of saying Lewis, say Lee-Wiz.
So it's just the misspelling.
Lee-Wiz change my name to, you know, Mr. Wallace or something. I mean, it's kind of that particular thing is enough to drive me batty, like you're saying. Because it's you got it right the first time. You presumably know who I am, and it, you know, it's fairly safe bet that if I'm going to say Lewis, I'm going to want to spell it the way that, you know, my name is. But that, to me, that's one of the most obvious, like, why can't you get this right kind of things with the dictation.
Especially in contradiction to my Amazon Echo, which gets it right most of the time and seems to be able to understand my speech better than my iPhone does. Anyway, okay. We're going to be talking about our Why Are We So Hard on Apple segment. We
right. Can, I'm can refer I'm back to this. So,
I thought we already started, didn't we? Okay. But let's at least finish the news here first.
So Buster, I've actually used it to send money to, of course, my kids, of course, and
For ramen.
Yeah. They did. They ran out of ramen, and actually ran out of something else.
Beer.
I had to send them a couple of emergency payments, and so my son had a little bit of trouble setting it up. It was kind of fiddly, and I. He had the wrong number in his car, but it took him forever to kind of figure out what the problem was, you know, because it was all sort of kind of troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. But it is really cool to do it through messaging, right? You know, you're messaging someone, and they hit you, and your kids hit you up, kind of some cash, and bang, there you go. Your bank account is drained.
I was going to say, it's almost a bad feature for you because it makes it easier for them to get money from you.
Yeah, cyber begging.
At least before, you could be like, do you use Venmo? And they're like, no. And you're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Can't do it. I'll give you cash next time I see you.
Actually, yeah, I told him, we couldn't get it to work because for some reason it wasn't working. So I told him, go get Square Cash. You know Square Cash from Square?
Right.
That was a good one because it was kind of like Apple Pay. You know, you put it in a debit card and it would transfer instantly and for free. And pretty easy to use. So anyway, he's messing around in this, and I'm like, you know, have you got it yet? Have you done it yet? And he's asking me all these questions about the setup. And one of the questions was like, what industry are you in? You know, retail, restaurants. And I was like, what?
What? I don't remember asking me those questions.
I know. I was kind of distracted. So I was like, I don't know, just make something up, you know, just tell him you're in the weed business or something. And so afterwards, and then I tried to send him the money, and then he said, it didn't come through, you know.
Send more?
Yeah, well, no, he downloaded the wrong Square app. He got the Square, you know, cash register app.
Oh.
That's why I was asking what industry he was in, because it wanted to know what kind of, like, you know, what kind of point-of-sale device he had. So anyway, poor boy. Anyway, they eventually got it to work, and it was really easy. It is, you know, super instantaneous.
Now, are you talking about Square Cash, or are you talking about Apple Pay Cash?
Well, Apple Pay. I'm really loving Apple Pay, too. Like, I bought it some Christmas presents, you know, and then using Apple Pay on the iPhone X. It does have a weird glitch where you have to double click the side button to verify the purchase. Oh. After it does Face ID, which is really weird. But you know, generally Apple Pay is turning into a really nice and seamless digital currency system, digital payment system.
Everyone's going to have it. Everyone that has an iPhone is just going to have it built in, so it's not going to. You're not going to have to get them to install an app because people are weird about that kind of stuff. I was trying to get my aunt to install an app so I could pay her money, and she was hesitant about giving her bank information to this app, and you know, she just didn't trust it. And if it's built in to the app by Apple, I think people are going to be less
resistant. I didn't trust you.
Why
are you paying your aunt money?
Oh, I owed her money for a large quantity of heroin I was buying.
Right.
Yeah. She deals heroin, and it's really good, actually. She grows the opium herself. Isn't that what it's made from?
Yes. Poppies.
Oh, poppy seeds. Hey, is someone clicking a pen or something in the background?
That was me. Leander with his.
You gotta stop. I heard that all last show, and I thought I was going insane.
Oh, yeah. Fiddling. I'll get my fidget spinner.
Yeah, go get your fidget spinner instead, as long as it's silent. Okay. Buster, let's talk about the hot new app landing on Apple TV. Everyone probably knows what we're talking about, but let's at least talk about it.
Amazon Prime Video. Ooh, boom. Yahtzee.
Dude, I've been waiting for this one for 185 days.
Yeah.
186 days now.
It seems like people have been waiting years for it almost, though.
Yeah, because I haven't had any good way to watch Amazon Prime Video, and so it just sits there unused, and it's like Netflix. It's so great. They have, I would say, in some regards, they have better content than Netflix does.
As far as what, the original shows go, or other shows?
Well, I don't know if they still have the HBO content, but they used to have all the HBO content as well, all the old stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so you could go on there and watch that. And I feel like if Netflix doesn't have a movie, oftentimes there's a good chance that Amazon will.
Uh-huh.
And so you can kind of just go back and forth between the two services and get all the shows that you want to watch.
Yeah.
Anyway, the app's pretty good. And I heard some people complaining that it was slow, but it worked quite well for me. They also updated the Amazon Prime Video app for iPhone X. So it extends the full length of the screen if you want to watch stuff on your phone. And the app for the Apple TV is available on the third generation Apple TV or on the fourth, or do they call the 4K Apple TV the fifth generation?
I guess they call it Apple TV 4K. Right?
Okay, but technically it's the fifth gen.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but sure.
Or I guess it's an addition of the fourth gen. Anyway, it works on any of those devices. Funny story, real quick. I was setting up the Amazon app on my Apple TV, and it wasn't connecting to my Amazon account, so it gives me a URL to go to. I think it's like amazon.com/. like get TV or something. I forget what it is. And when you go to the URL they tell you to go to, it's like a product page, like some weird product page. And I was totally confused. I didn't understand what it was asking me to do because it looked like there was just a bunch of like like regular Amazon content, but there was nothing that explained to me what I needed to do to connect the two devices. And in the comments, the very top comments in this thread was, "This link is broken. Amazon, you need to fix this. If you want to set up your Apple TV, you need to go to this link." And it gives an entirely different Amazon link. So I clicked on that link in the comments and it took me to the right page. And I was actually able to set up my Apple TV. This guy had like 80 thumbs up, right? Because everyone found his comment so useful. So if you are having trouble setting up your Amazon Prime Video app on Apple TV, you too will eventually need to find this guy's comment to go to the right URL and actually get your two products linked. Okay. So, with all that said, we should move on to this listener email and talk about why are we so hard on the poor folks at Apple and the products that they release. Now, the guy who sent in this email, as I said, he was more of a critic than a listener. I consider a listener someone who listens regularly, and a critic is someone who might listen a couple times and then sends you a scathing email, tells you you're a huge piece of shit. And you need to die. You should never talk about Apple. Why are you even doing this? You should just close down the podcast. And at first I was like, this guy is just trying to troll us. I'm not even going to worry about this. But he did make some good points. I
mean, right, it was more reason, right? It wasn't just a rant. It wasn't just insults.
It wasn't just insults. I would say it was like 80% insults, 20% actual commentary, like constructive criticism. And once I got over being pissed, I thought about some of his points, and I thought he does make some points that I thought were worth addressing. We are hard on Apple sometimes. Do you agree, Leander? Do you think that we are maybe too negative on Apple? Buster and I, since we seem to be the guys that are most negative oftentimes.
Yeah, you are. I'm not.
You would never say anything negative. I feel like the show has a balance, right? Sometimes if you're being very positive, I will intentionally look for some of the places that we could be more critical, just so it's balanced. And so we're not all just, you know, so it's not just a huge...
Oh, I love Apple, yeah. Apple's the shit. Well,
yeah, I don't want this to be fanboy central. I think there are
places where you can go for the Apple cheerleading, the uncritical, the completely, you know, knee-jerk defensive, everything that Apple does is completely correct. You know, there's a lot of that in our universe.
Totally. And I think one of the reasons why there is a lot of that is because there are a lot of outlets out there that are receiving preferential treatment from Apple. They're getting seats at the keynote, they're getting products, some of them, and or they might be getting information before the rest of us get it, and that is very valuable in our industry.
They get replies,
and so
to
I
emails.
Feel like those people are more inclined. They're definitely more inclined to color their commentary, because no matter what they say, they know if they say the wrong thing, they could have those privileges revoked, and that would be terrible for them. And we get no privilege here.
We've got nothing to lose.
We got no privilege. We got nothing to lose, baby. We're just saying whatever we think. And also, as a point of pride, I don't know about you guys, but I do feel like I'm always honest. And I tell this conversation is like sitting down with your buddies, you're having a beer, and you're just talking about these products in a truthful way. And I don't try to color anything. I just say how I feel. And these devices from Apple are expensive, and so I have high expectations. And also, I think all of us have high expectations, period, because we love Apple and we love what they do. And the commentary that we make, I feel like is coming from a place of
purity.
Love.
Pure.
Yeah. Purity. Oh. Perfect.
Pure driven snow honesty.
Yeah. We're not like some Fandroid podcast that's just ripping on Apple just because... And we also give adoration where it's due. I mean, if you've ever heard us say a single negative thing about the AirPods, you can't find it, because we've done nothing but talk about how great they are over and over and over again because they are great products. But, you know, Apple's been experimenting lately with products, and they've had some hits and they've had some misses.
Yeah.
I think this is an old thing, you know, like it's been a longer refrain in the community. I think the Apple community, it's like, you know, love the products, hate the company.
Yeah, well, I think it's like dangerous to love a company, right? I don't know. I just think that's bad. I don't love Apple as a company. I think they're a good company and they do good things and make cool shit. But I think there's a lot of people who just kind of blindly love Apple no matter what, and that kind of disturbs me, because Apple doesn't love you. You know, they love your money.
They love your money.
Yeah. So
it's the world's biggest company, and it's a money making machine. But it definitely acts like a corporation. Look at all this tax stuff, you know, they're getting involved in. I think it's, you know, counter very much to, you know, Tim Cook's ethos of companies doing good, of doing, you know, doing well by doing good. You know, I think that stands in stark contrast to what he said, even though, like, on the face of it, you know, he says they obey all the laws and they don't dodge taxes, they obey all the local tax laws. I think the principle of it is wrong. You know, they call it tax minimization, but I think it's like clearly tax
dodging. Well, they did a good job doing that. Yeah. They minimized it down to nothing.
Right. I know the tax bills. You know, and this is a fraught political issue. You know, and I know we're going to get a lot of, you know, you can get a lot of criticism of this. But to go back to the point about being critical of Apple, I think, yeah, you know, I think you just you call it like you see it. I think it's a very, you know, important thing to do in all aspects of life.
But there are some outlets out there that I think don't do that, more prone to ignore the bad aspects of Apple and just focus on the good stuff and then just remain silent on the bad stuff.
Well, there was
stuff.
You know, some names mentioned earlier, and I don't want to, you know, get into this, but, you know, yeah, it's funny to watch people do, like, you know, go through these kind of really incredible pretzel, you know, twisting moves to try to defend something that's indefensible. And some of the stuff that Apple does is indefensible, but it's funny, you know, you see that as a knee jerk. There are some, you know, some Apple pundits, well-known Apple pundits, you know, that will go to almost any incredible, you know, length to defend Apple in the face of, like, you know, stuff that is indefensible, I think.
There is, you can get attention by bashing Apple too. And I think some people who have audiences where they talk about Apple podcasts on YouTube, it's weird that they have shows where they seem to take a pro-Apple stance because all they ever do is bash Apple. It's like they say they love Apple, but then they bash them all the time. And I think maybe this guy's criticism, maybe he thought, he doesn't listen to the show, so he doesn't really know what we say.
Why do you read a couple of lines? It was kind of funny.
I don't even have the email in front of me. Lewis, do you have it? Well, I don't want to do that because then we're going to give this troll attention, and I don't even want to do that.
Well,
because
he was a bit better than a troll. I think, like you said, he had some valid points.
Well, I think he had some valid points, but they were buried within his email, which he was trying to troll us.
A trolly vibe, but, you know, that's fair enough.
Like, if you were to write an email that was constructive and polite, I think that I wouldn't mind reading it on the show, but like the tone
of his
email.
It made me laugh. Did it make you? Did it really annoy you?
I wouldn't say it annoyed me a lot, but, like, I think the tone of the email, you could tell he's never liked our show, and he never will like our show, and that's fine. I mean, I completely get it. Believe me, I've had to listen to more of this show than anybody else. I understand. but I mean, oftentimes when I don't like something, if I don't get into something, I don't write that venue an email and tell them all the crap that they're doing wrong, because I'm not involved with that production. I don't know anything about them.
This is a funny one, though, right? I think this one shows that he is a bit more involved, right? It's not just
he listened to the show at the start, and then he listened recently, and he hasn't listened in the middle.
He's exaggerating, I think. You know, he's obviously listened to a couple more. He knows all our names.
Clearly, you must be a huge fan.
Well, we say
the names in the first 1 minute of the episode.
He's got to remember it. Someone's got to, you know, people just don't remember that kind of stuff. If it was truly an Apple podcast he's only listened to twice, he would not remember our names. I can guarantee that.
Oh, we are pretty memorable individuals, though. You have to keep that in mind. We're highly charismatic. There's a lot of bravado that happens here. So, I mean, if you want to read some of it, go ahead. I'm not completely opposed to it. Lewis, you got it there in front of you?
Well, then, yeah, but then now I'm looking at it. It's kind of long. So he said, yeah, so I used to use Cult-O-Mac as a primary fun news site for news on Apple. I listened to a couple of Cultcast episodes when it first started, but I did not stick with it. I just listened to the last one featuring the HomePod, and I'm very glad I stopped listening long ago.
He listened to the first two, and he listened to the recent one.
I just take that with a pinch of salt. Anyway, the site used to be celebrating the cult of Apple products, and is now just a gray version of every other wannabe tech site. Irfan, why are you even a host? Good question there, Bill. I don't think I heard one positive thing from your flapping face.
Ooh. Sick
quote, "I don't know why Spotify is better. It just is." Apparently you said that on that episode. Quote, "Why does Apple even keep with the Apple TV? Quote. We use these products," and then back to Bill. So he's criticizing what Irfan said. "We use these Apple products because they fit into the ecosystem and because they have the fog of Apple in our eyes. This, thus, the cult of Mac. Constructive criticism is fine, but I can get Apple bashing from a myriad of other sites. Add some rose glasses to those bloodshot eyes. Just change the site name already and stop pretending. Thanks, Bill Wimsatt."
What are you going to change the site name to? But
yeah, what are you going to change it to?
Cult of Whack.
Right.
Cult of Whack. Perfect. That's what it should be, you heretic.
I don't know. Cult of Apple criticism, cult of Apple bashing, cult of...
Yeah, see, I mean, I didn't find that exchange to be particularly uplifting. Constructive, but I mean, basically, he's saying that he doesn't like that you're critical of any Apple products, and he made some he pointed to some things that he thinks that I said. I don't remember saying some of the things that he said that I said. I may have.
He sounds like a bunch of politicians, right?
Yeah,
now.
I do not recall that.
I remember
incident.
It differently.
I don't remember grabbing said breasts, but you know, I'm not going to say it didn't happen. But so anyway, yeah. I guess the point of this being, there are some shows and there are some YouTube channels out there that will not be critical of Apple, period. They will only focus on the positive stuff. And I feel like we are often very positive about Apple stuff, but we are more willing to take it both ways. At least I am. Lander is always impressed no matter what. It's always the most astonishing device that you have to have now.
The one thing I do is when I like something, I do enthuse about it, right? So I think I do, and you know, I really do, if I do like something, I'm really into it. And that I think...
Comes through,
yeah. But yeah, and you know, we're all, I think, very, very critical of the site. And I don't think there's anyone in any service to try to gloss it over. Then it becomes weird and partisan and, you know, dishonest and unreal and phony and fake.
That's yeah, right. And I would rather him not be a fan of what we're doing than us be fake and give people what we think they want to hear, as opposed to just telling them what we think.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well... Thank you to that unnamed man. I'm going to cut that out of the show, Leander.
Well, he won't hear it anyway because he stopped listening.
Yeah, he probably
did. You reply
listens.
To the email?
You know who? No. It's probably like one of our competitors who sent that email. He's trying to discourage us to close our show so our listeners will flee to his
Pack
show.
Pack it
because...
up, guys. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, all right. Let's see here. Before we move on to the best gadgets of 2017, where we will say only positive things and no negative things at all, let me go ahead and say thank you to Eero for supporting this episode. The single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. We talk about this all the time. What you need is a distributed system, and one of the best ones out there is Eero. That's Eero. We've covered Eero a ton on this show in the past. And whatever your Wi-Fi needs are, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination. Especially true if you have a two-story home and you can put an Eero in two different parts of your house or three different parts of your house. They all communicate with each other and they create a huge, warm, wonderful, welcoming blanket of Wi-Fi that will be fast and you'll have no dead spots. You simply set the Eero on a flat surface or plug it into a wall to expand coverage in any room. And with the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band. That's the good stuff. The tri-band is the good stuff. And it's twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more in every room of their home. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Whichever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert within 30 seconds. Here's the offer for our listeners. When you decide it's time to check out Eero, head on over to Eero.com, and you can select overnight shipping for the option. And when you enter code CULTCAST, you'll get the overnight shipping for free. Zero. Nothing. You'll have your Eero the very next day. And I promise you,
just
especially
in time for Christmas.
If you're... What's that?
Just in time for Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
In fact, this kind of thing is a perfect Christmas gift. For like, if you're going to their folks, if you're going back home for Christmas, you know, because you're going to do a lot of troubleshooting, get your folks a new Wi-Fi system.
Oh,
headaches
man.
Over.
They'll love it. Yeah. Especially if you're... If your folks live in a two-story place, I can't say that enough because it makes such a dramatic difference. Especially if you live in a house with multiple stories, it makes a huge difference. Or if you have a long house, like my house is really long, so if you put a router in the front but not in the back, you'll have strong router signal in the front of the house, but in the back you'll have no Wi-Fi, you'll have no bars, and that's not good. So.
And talking to reviews, I wrote a review of the first system when it first came out that you know was well received. So I can give that to you. We'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, great! And this is the second generation. It's even faster.
Yeah, it's even better. And the software is really great on this.
Right, because you can control it all via an app on your iPhone, right?
Yeah. It's one of the strong points. Yeah.
So Eero.com, Eero.com. Select overnight shipping as the option and use code CULTCAST to get free overnight shipping. Thank you to Eero. Okay, let's gadge, my friends. Let's gadge.
Ooh.
This was hard, wasn't it? It's like picking your favorite movies of 2017. And I just know that as soon as we wrap up, I'm gonna think of two or three things, and I'm gonna feel super guilty that I didn't talk about them because we've reviewed so many things this year, so many great products this year.
Yeah.
And let me just set the groundwork here. So this doesn't necessarily need to be something that came out in 2017, although I think many of our picks will be. These could be things that you just started using in 2017 and you found to be a favorite device of yours in this year. It's hard, right? Even remembering what you looked at this year, Buster. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even remember what you reviewed this year? I don't even know.
I've broken so many things this year. So, yeah, it's hard to keep track of them all.
Don't you just look in your trash bin, your trash can?
I give them away as
soon
as they're gone.
He's like, what was that? I can't remember. And it's just broken plastic and wires now, so I can never recall what it was. Lander, do you want to kick us off here?
Well, you know,
because you had a mega list, right?
A bit of a list. I'm in a long list. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Oh, dear Lord, man. Okay, well, you got to run through them fast because this is going to be a 3-hour show.
All right. Well, you know, so you said leave out the Apple stuff. Okay, so there was
leave out the Apple stuff. We'll talk about that on a future show.
There was three Apple products on here that came out this year that I really liked. But there's one Apple product that I started using this year that came out a long time ago that I think, you know, it's fair enough to mention, but it's the iPod Hi-Fi with the Echo Dot. And
that really is one of your favorites?
Yeah. Hilarious.
I
totally use it every day, and I totally dig it. It's you know, it's really, really good. Really,
and
really
you
great
wrote a
way.
Piece on it on Call to Mac, too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yep.
Because, you pitched that a while ago, and I thought, okay, that's pretty cool, but he's not going to use that nearly as often as he thinks.
Oh, man, I was, you know, I just had the thing cranked up right now, you know, just rocking out to the undertones that came up on the radio.
Okay.
Every day.
So your homemade... your smart
HomePod, yeah, homemade HomePod,
homemade hi-fi, I guess.
Right, there's definitely one.
Rap music you're playing?
Did I set it off?
No, yeah, I think you must have. I heard some music. Who was that?
It sounded like a cartoon.
Buster, was that you?
Yeah, guilty. My bad.
Okay. Okay, Leander, what's your next pick?
Okay, so a couple more things. The Sony Play Bass. I'm sorry, the Sonos Play Bass.
Oh, you got the Playbase, right?
Right, yeah, which is their upgraded TV or home theater system component. It's a flat box that goes underneath your TV. Absolutely awesome, unbelievable, beautiful sound, really easy to use. Love Sonos, of course, and this is like, you know, the best Sonos component I bought all year. Not the only one, but the best one.
And this is for your TV, you said, so it's like a sound bar.
Yeah, but it's like a weird fat pizza box, flat pizza box that
yeah,
goes underneath your TV.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. I like the design of it because instead of like trying to put it in front of your TV, it just sits right underneath it.
Yeah, unfortunately, my TV has got a weird stand, so it kind of the stand sits over the top of the thing, so it looks totally weird and unwieldy.
Did you get a TV mount or something?
Yeah, it's just the quirk of the TV that we have and the stand that it has. Like our older TV would have fit perfectly underneath it, and it would have been really unobtrusive.
Okay, Sonos Playbase.
Nice piece of kit. Yeah, then the Amazon Echo Show, which is the Amazon Echo with the the screen.
Mm-hmm.
We have that in the kitchen. That thing gets used all the time for everything.
For what?
I don't know. You know, news alerts, music. Huh. Uh-huh. Setting timers. Kitchen's a perfect place for something like an Echo.
Yeah.
Weather reports.
You can also connect it to your Arlo cameras as well.
Yeah, right. So, and we also with a Ring doorbell, so I can check to see who's at the front door. I did that the other day.
Okay. Worked Amazon really Echo well. Show. What else you got?
A bunch of bike stuff.
Okay, so, rattle them off.
A couple of bike. Well, I've got these bike lights, these intelligent bike lights, the C-Sense.
That's right. You talked about those before.
Yeah. They're really great. These are the best bike lights money can buy. They're not cheap. They're about $100 for a set. And they're made in Northern Ireland. But these things are packed with all sorts of sensors. And I was talking to the founder. He came to San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. I had coffee. He was telling me all this fascinating stuff. I mean, they're really a data science company.
Hmm.
And that's really their business. You know, I was going to write a column on this because it was really interesting. But, you know, their entry into the data science of roads and urban planning is through this bike light. And they're collecting all this data about roads in urban areas. And that's really what they hope their business is going to turn into, selling that data to municipalities, which I thought was fascinating and very, very clever. But in the meantime, they've made this amazing bike light that has accelerometers in it and also an ambient light detector, so it turns you don't even need to turn the thing on or off. It turns on when you start moving, and it gets brighter if you go into a tunnel or if you go into some trees, or if a car headlamp shines on the light, it'll start blinking brighter. They've got a new one that's coming out next year, but in the meantime, the model that they have right now, I highly recommend. It's a great bike light.
Okay, C-Sense bike lights, got it.
And then the last thing is the Wahoo Element, the bike computer, which is...
the Wahoo Element. Wahoo! You gotta say it like that, please.
This is like, you know, like a distant sort of third, I think, or second or third in the world of bike computers. You know, it's dominated by Garmin.
Yeah.
Which make good bike computers, but this one's really, really easy to use, and it's really connected. It's really designed around the app that you put on your iPhone, and works in conjunction with your iPhone. And you can set up all the different things that you want to look at on your iPhone. You set up all these different screens, and you can trade through them. And it's a really nice bike computer, really easy to use. It's like, you know, not a lot of this is kind of a weird world in bike computers. They're like old digital watches. You know, they have these old cell phones. You know, the old Nokia phones where they have these really confusing. Tree menus that you have to really dig down.
Yeah, I know exactly
what you mean. So yeah, this one is kind of like the first one that I've seen that like sort of updates the bike computer for the modern app age, and has it like a much more like iPhone app like interface, and which makes it a lot easier to use. It's a really nice piece of kit. Highly recommended. Wahoo Element.
Okay, the Wahoo Element. Okay.
Damn.
Those are Leander's picks. Gosh, how can you top that?
Oh, Buster. One more thing.
Oh, of course.
I forgot about this. The Nokia Body Plus. It's a Wi-Fi scale.
Nokia Body Plus. Nokia?
Yeah. Well, it used to be Withings. Nokia bought the Withings brand.
Oh, it did. I didn't know that.
That's why I saw they came out with a new smartwatch, and I thought it was weird that it was from Nokia.
Nokia, right. Yeah. So this is old Withings, and Withings, these were always great. Withings was a French company, and I don't know why they sold to Nokia. And
they made good products too. Yeah,
and they still around. Are they still around? I'm not really 100% sure, but Nokia sells them now. They branded them Nokia.
And sorry, what was the name of the scale?
Body Plus.
The Body Plus. And what makes this one different than some of the other smart scales they've released?
Well, it shares all your data. Like I did a bunch of research, and I was looking at. There's a whole bunch of them out there now. But a lot of them are sort of tied to their own proprietary apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's only a couple. Nokia's one, and then there's another one. I forget what it was. I can't remember the research I did now. But, you know, I really dug into this because I wanted to make sure that it synced up with Health, the Health app. And, the Withings, that was one of the things the Withings did. You know, like you measure yourself on Withings, and then it would, through the Health app, would act like as a conduit to all these other apps. So you could pull up, all your... calorie counting apps, all your other fitness apps, it would share that health data, so it would keep it up to date automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And like, from what I could tell, like, you know, maybe there's a half a dozen other Wi-Fi scales out there. Only one other one shared your data with all these other apps in that way. So it's one of the few that shares your data, and I think that's an essential, you know, feature to have, because then it keeps, you know, all of your calorie counting or your weight tracking apps. Your fitness apps, you know, Map My Run, Map My Ride. It keeps all that stuff in sync without you having to go in.
Are you using all those apps too?
What's that?
Are you using all those apps too?
No, I've got this one.
You're the most fit guy in all San Francisco.
The only one I actually really use is Happy Scale,
mm-hmm.
which is a weight tracking app. And the reason I like it is because it does these projections. So it looks at, you know, if you're losing weight, it'll tell you, how long it'll take for you to reach like a goal weight. And I found that to be super motivating.
Really?
Yeah, huh. Yeah, totally. Really, really, really.
So it's
really
like, instead of telling you that you're a good weight, it's like in 6 months, you're going to be at a great weight.
Right, precisely. Yeah. So, you know,
don't look at the scale now. Look at where you'll be in 6 months.
Exactly. See, that's what I like. That's what I liked about it. I could turn my head to what it's actually at.
Yeah.
And look to what it's going to be.
You've been gaining 5 pounds a week for 6 months, but in 6 months you could be even lower.
Yeah, no, that was the problem in the past. I've always hated these weight tracking apps because, you know, usually the numbers are going the wrong way.
And, right. This one's always going the right way, no matter what.
Right, precisely. Yeah, and it actually does use a bunch of algorithms, so it doesn't, you know, it actually kind of fudges your weight, like, you know, your current weight, because it looks at your weight trends.
Really?
Which is not a bad way to do it, really. It's actually, I think, a bunch of really good data science in it. But anyway, this Nokia Body Plus, it's actually the middle, mid-range one. It's not there's a really cheap one for about $60. This one's about $100, and there's an expensive one for $200 mm-hmm. that does a whole bunch of, like, body analysis. You know, it shoots, like, a little tiny electrical current up into your body and weighs how much fat and body water you have, and it can do heart rate and stuff like that. But I didn't really want all those features. You know, I just wanted the basic.
Yeah, I kind of, I'm with you there. I just want a basic scale. Right. Okay, there's Leander's mega list of all the best gadgets of 2017. We'll link to all the stuff and all the products we're all going to talk about in the show notes, of course. Buster, what do you got for us?
Oh, what's up?
Wake up, dude. Later's finally done. But wait, there's more.
Okay, so, I mean, I would say it's tough to choose because I would say my favorite gadget of 2017 was the Mavic Pro. But I also chose that last year, I think. But I used it throughout all of 2017. So that's definitely like the thing, the piece of tech that impacted my life the most. But my favorite, I was going to say the Boosted Board, but then I got something better than the Boosted Board recently. I got the...
What?
Yeah. I got the One Wheel Plus, and dude...
Are you serious? You like that more?
This thing is...
That's like a skateboard for clowns.
It's a clown car.
Dude, no way. This thing is so much fun, man. Because the Boosted Board's cool and everything. It can go fast, but the One Wheel goes just as fast. It goes 20 miles per hour. It's a distance of 5 to 7, or a range of 5 to 7 miles, but it charges way faster, and it can go off-road, which is, I'm all about that life. And, like, I took it out, well, I live by the golf course, and so I take it out with my dog all the time at night, and we'll just go mob around. I took it out this weekend with all my cliff jumping friends, and we went on some dirt trails with it, and they just got ridiculous on it. It's super fun, just kind of feels like snowboarding. A little bit, just the way you use your weight with it. But yeah, it's honestly like one of the funnest toys I think I've ever played with. Even though it looks ridiculous.
You said it's called the One Wheel?
Yeah, One Wheel.
And how hard is it to balance on that thing?
It's not hard at all. I mean, it's self-balancing. So basically all you do is you tip the front up. And so for readers who haven't heard it, it's like a go-kart wheel with like two pieces of wood on the side, and so you just kind of balance over the wheel and just use this one wheel to.
But the wheel is very large, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big wheel. It's like a
golf cart wheel.
Yeah,
yeah. Adam Savage has got one. I see him going up up and down Valencia Street all the time on his.
Yeah,
really,
dude. Yeah, and I mean, it's sweet. Like, yeah, you just tilt up or you tilt it to where you're balanced, and then it automatically kind of balances for you. And then you just put your weight forward to go forward, push your weight back to go backward, and then, you know, side to side. It's pretty simple for the most part. I crashed it a few times learning how.
Of course.
Yeah.
You haven't destroyed it yet?
It was pretty – the one they set up to me was pretty beat up already, so I didn't feel bad about, taking it up and shredding with it.
But that's actually a testament to its longevity, right? If it lasts in your hands for longer than a week, then it's going to be pretty tough.
Right.
And did they send you a model that had already been used for reviews?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so it had already been busted up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, the one wheel and the Mavic Pro. Anything else, Buster?
That's it.
Okay. Lewis, what do you got?
Oh, my stuff sounds pretty mundane after that. I know, mine does too.
I know, same here, dude. That's why I'm having you go next, because mine will sound much cooler after yours, I'm sure.
Oh, it's the setup.
Actually, you said you had a big one, though, just a real banger, so maybe not.
Well, it is actually quite large. So the first thing I was going to talk about was the Amplify HD, which is another one of those mesh network Wi-Fi things, and it's like what you were saying, fantastic. It's a great way to just light up your whole house with Wi-Fi. I've never had so much easy Wi-Fi on all three levels of my house. I got a review. I'll put a... I'll drop a link there for you. But
give me a link. Later, you don't have to do it now.
It's actually kind of a cute-looking little device, too. I mean, I got it sitting right by my TV, and it looks like interesting, you know, not like one of... I guess most of these are these days, or at least the new breed of them.
They make them look very feral. They're, like, sharp and aggressive.
Well, yeah, some of them look like they just got pulled off of a military submarine or something, right?
Yeah, but, some look like they were constructed by aliens.
Yeah, but this thing is just, like, a cute little cube. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Apple, the G4 or whatever.
Oh, well, that's a winner for me.
It's got a little touchscreen on the front. Anyway, so that thing's great.
Okay.
Also mundane, But I do. I've been doing a lot more stuff with HomeKit this past year, and this company called KooGeek. Have you heard of them?
No. What's how do you spell it?
KooGeek.
Okay.
I've never heard
KooGeek.
Of them, but they actually make HomeKit compatible smart plugs and light bulbs and all kinds of stuff, really. But I've tried out is the light bulb and the smart plug. And you know what? They work great. And, you know, I'm a little late to the whole, like, smart light bulb thing. But
you're not late, man. We're still early adopters.
Okay, well.
Yeah, most people have never even imagined using such a thing.
I got to say, like, my wife got all crazy about it, you know. She's like, wow, this is unbelievable. Because she can just say, you know, hey, Siri, make the lights chartreuse. And it turns this brilliant green, you know, and it's kind of a
really,
yeah, I didn't realize that they got crazy colors like that. You know, you can say, hey Siri, make my lights puce, and it works. It's very odd, and it's kind of a cute little parlor trick. And people who come, you know, she's a piano teacher. People are always coming in, and kids love that, watching that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know how useful it is, but it's kind of cool.
Mood,
well, you know where the utility
underrated.
Comes in. What's that? Huh? What's that, Leander?
Well, mood lighting is underrated, I think. You know, until I was very dismissive of it until I got it, and then it improved my mood, and I'm like totally into it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I want more of them. I gotta say, I'm on the lookout for you know, deals on these things now, and I'd like to try other brands as well. I mean, this is, like I said, the first one I've tried, but it works great. And
I think where the real power of HomeKit enabled lights come into play too is in the automation. So you can set that light to do different things based upon all these different attributes. And one of those things that you can keep track of is your location, right? So when you leave, the light will turn off, or when you come home, the light will turn on. And that's what I have happening in my house. So when I leave, certain lights come on, and then other lights turn off, and then when I get home, they all turn back on. So when you start automating your house like that, then you can really see how powerful it is based upon your location.
Yeah. Awesome.
Boom. Koo Geek. HomeKit. Yeah. Bulbs. Yeah. And plugs. Plus, it's kind of just fun to say Koo Geek.
Koo Geek.
Okay. Anything else, Lewis?
Yeah. Believe it or not, two more things.
Boom!
Yeah, what I know. Hold on to your hat.
Okay.
The Omna 180 Cam HD by D-Link. This is another thing that I didn't really have any understanding or need or desire for. It's a camera, you know, I guess a security camera, really. I don't know if it's really about security, but... It's HomeKit enabled. It's got it gives you this beautiful view of wherever it's set up. You know, we also have a very, you know, like a shotgun house, right? And open floor plan. I set this thing in there. I can see from end to end of my house. Whoa. And it's awesome. Also with HomeKit, you can set up like, you know, triggers. Like, it's got a motion sensitivity thing, right? So you can set it so if somebody moves in the downstairs, the light comes on upstairs or whatever. You can do whatever you want, like you're saying with these automations. I mean, that's a ridiculous example, but it works. It's just a beautiful device. I think it might be the only HomeKit compatible camera out there right now. There might be one other one, but
interesting. That's an interesting point. Yeah, I was just thinking the Arlo cams, which I love, they're not HomeKit enabled.
Yeah,
which is a big bummer.
Yeah, I know. I like HomeKit. It actually, as more and more products are coming online, it's you know, it's been slow, but I think it's starting to come into its own.
I know. I want everything to be HomeKit enabled.
Yeah, and this is a real quality camera. It's like $150, but the only thing that's weird about it, and you know, plus or minus, it depends on your use, right? You can have it save clips, but it saves them onto an SD card in the thing. So like, if you think of it as a security camera, it's like, okay, well, if somebody breaks into your house and they see that thing, they're probably going to swipe
gonna
it because it's
yeah.
kind of cool looking. And if they know what it is, they're going to say, hey, you know, there's the evidence of me breaking into the house, right? So it's not like one of these other cameras that's constantly feeding video or cameras or shots into the cloud, right? So you don't have to pay a monthly service to use it and have this backup stuff, but... It's not really about that, I guess. It's also great for, like, if you, you know, you can talk, you can hear, it's got a microphone, so you can hear what's going on. You can talk to people through it. I have it set up in my living room by the cat food. Mm-hmm. And so every time the sensor triggers it, right, like the cat jumps up there and you see this picture of a close-up picture of a cat. And
cat cam?
Yeah, it's a cat cam, and you can talk to the cat, which freaks him out just
which
a little bit.
I'm sure he doesn't pay attention to at all.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my, what's that, my third pick? I got one more, and this one is also cat-related, and this is the big one, and I mean massive. It's Litter Robot 3 Open Air.
The heck is that?
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I don't even know what you just said. What?
Litter robot.
Oh, the litter robot.
Three.
Give Open me air. Your turds. Give me your turds.
This, okay. This thing looks like something out of a sci-fi movie, you know, like Hal, open the pod bay doors, right? It looks like a pod bay. It's, I don't know, it's not quite as big as a Volkswagen. I'd say it's, I don't know, 3 feet tall. It's gigantic.
Holy moly, this thing's got great reviews, too.
It is awesome. I mean, I don't know, if you have a cat, what's the one thing you hate about your cat? Cleaning the litter box, keeping the litter box clean. This thing, we've had this up and running in our house for, I don't know, maybe a year. Haven't yet reviewed it. Very sad. I'm sorry about that. But it's awesome, you know? And we've got three cats.
Uh-huh. This You've got thing, three cats?
We've got three cats. It's Man, a little bit out of hand.
We need to do a special episode just on that. Jeez.
It's out of hand. But so, you know, they hop in there. They do their business. They hop out. I think it's like 8 minutes later, the thing, this giant circle ball thing just spins slowly. Sifts out all the clumping litter crap and dumps it into a thing below. With three cats, I think I have to empty this like maybe every 3 or 4 days. And, you know, that's way better than like, okay, cats just went to the bathroom, got to go clean it again. So
your cat always stinks like piss and cat turds. And right, cat pee is the worst, man. It's just so pungent.
Yeah, and this, it's got, you know, charcoal filters and whatever. It's astonishing that it does not smell. This box does not smell.
Open air indeed, huh?
Dude, this thing looks like an escape pod from a spaceship.
Exactly. It's very sci-fi. People walk in, they're like, what in the world is that?
It looks like the Eye of Sauron. It has like this it has like this circle, and then it has a oval shape cut from the middle of the circle, and it looks like a giant eyeball.
Yeah. That's why I didn't describe it. I forgot it. We were on, you know, talking instead of, I'm sitting here looking at the picture. I know what it is. Yeah, I'm horrible. Anyway, it's not. It's fantastic.
It's a $450 cat litter box.
I would pay twice that for it.
But it's got 2,172 reviews, and it has, it looks like, this is their website, but still, I mean, it's got 5 stars.
Money back guarantee, free shipping. Wow. I mean, it's quite large, though. I mean, you know, it doesn't just like fit under your counter or something. It's,
It's like a full-on bathroom, like cat-sized bathroom.
Yeah, it is.
Executive bathroom for your cat.
It is quite awesome. And, you know, it looks a little intimidating, right? We were a little worried that the cats wouldn't, you know, use it. They give you some hints on how to get people to use it, or how to get cats to use it. And actually, maybe we need them for the streets of San Francisco. But you can get certain things, like there's some kind of like training litter or something that you can get that my wife did this in it, and it encourages the cats to go in there, and sure enough, man, they don't even think twice about it now. I've got a cat, three happy cats, constantly clean litter box. I mean, I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
The only thing this thing is missing is like a fake cat tongue, which cleans their butts on the way out.
you know what it doesn't have? What I do wish it had was an app that would say the litter box is full. Because the way it works now is it's got a little blinking light, right? It's somewhat easy to overlook. I mean, you could. I whatever. But if it had an app, it would be, oh my God, astonishing. Make it HomeKit compatible.
That'd even be the better. Best. The Litter Robot 3. Wow, that came out of left field. Was not expecting that.
I told you. Big okay. Surprises on Cult All Cast. Right.
You might have won this round. Okay, let me run through my list. I got a lot of stuff too, and we're way over, so I'm going to go through this pretty fast. But let me see here. Where's my list? Okay, first of all, and I'm glad that you mentioned the security camera, Lewis, because I got to plug the Arlo cameras from Netgear. Netgear started this camera line called Arlo. They have a bunch of different products within it. They have outdoor security cameras. They have indoor security cameras. And they are great. They are the best of what is out there. And the setup is dead simple. You just, you know, plug these cameras in via USB, or some of them are wireless, and you just mount them to a wall, and they just sit there. And you can change all these different attributes via the app, the Arlo app, which is very polished, so easy to use, and you could have them activate alarms when people come into a specific part of the image, or text you when that happens. There's all this stuff that you can control. The Arlo cameras from Netgear, one of the products that changed my life, really, this year, having cameras in my home that allow you to see different things. I have one in my daughter's room, so I can see what's going on with her in the middle of the night, which is really cool, like if she wakes up, or if you just want to see what the heck your kid's doing. You know, kids are weird, man. Kids do all sorts of weird stuff, especially when they're by themselves. And to be able to watch that is really entertaining, actually.
Yes, and very ethical.
Yeah, well, you know.
I guess it's your kid. But
she's
yeah.
two. Got to make sure that she's not. Did you read
Farhad? You know Farhad Manji, the columnist for the New York Times.
Uh huh.
He was obsessed with this. You know, like capturing every moment of his kid's life. So he's in blanketed his whole house in these cameras.
Really?
And I think he uses Arlo cameras. And you know, he's filming the whole time. In like every in their playroom and dinner time. And if they say something funny at dinner, he'll actually go back and save that clip. You know.
Oh my gosh! So it's wow. That's a little bit obsessive. You got to let that stuff fall through your fingers because yeah. there's just so much of it. You know, I mean, you know, you have kids. I mean, they do so much crazy stuff and they do so many funny things that you can't save all of it.
Right, and one of the things as well, it's like it's a kind of a strange nostalgia as well. You know, like I think a feeling a lot of parents want to, you know, will recognize. You do want to hold on to these moments. They are just sort of treasured moments. But
yeah.
you know, the beauty of it is that as life goes on, you know, you accumulate more and more moments, and then you know your family's just as special now as it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago, or you know when they were young. And they say just as much funny stuff now as they did they used to, or even funnier
really?
Stuff. You know, so it. You know, because we have this. You know, my wife is obsessed with all the kid pictures we have. You know, has a huge library of all the a digital library of all the pictures that we've taken of our kids, but we never look at it because it you know because you're sort of you're indulging in this kind of syrupy nostalgia. You know, mm-hmm. where you get all sort of teary eyed and you sort of regret the past, and that allows you to not to concentrate on the present and what's going on now.
You it's also mean? It's like going to a concert and filming the whole thing with your iPad instead of just watching the concert.
Yeah, right.
It's
yeah.
the same thing. And yeah. I don't like to do that. I just want to experience it. I want to live it and I want to let it go. And every once in a while I'll document the stuff if something is happening and I'll save it. But for the most part, it's just too much. I want to be in the moment, living it in the moment, not sitting there trying to record it with my iPad.
Right,
so.
Yeah, good point.
But you can't do that with the Arlo cam. I mean, you could download footage. If you could take photos. I mean, you can do all that stuff if you want. So that is one of the other bonuses of having cameras in your house. Well, specifically the Arlo cams.
Yeah, I got a couple of Arlo cameras too. And I'm right there with you. It's rock solid. Really,
they're great,
really
aren't they?
Yeah, really, really good software.
Definitely
really
one of my
hardware.
Favorites of the year.
Yeah, it doesn't go wrong.
Okay, let's see here. One of the other ones I wanted to bring up, I think I reviewed this earlier in the year, and I still love it. It's still great. This is the Symphony fan from Hunter. It's a ceiling fan, but it's a HomeKit-enabled ceiling fan, so you can control it via Siri. You can control it via the Home app, and you can set automation. So one of the things that I've done is I've set the fan to come on in the middle of the night because the studio that I'm in has electric heat, and because it has electric heat, all the heat, you know, rises to the top and it doesn't circulate in the room. So I have the fan come on at night and circulate the air. And it's just great. It's dead silent. It pumps out a ton of air. And it has really changed my life over the course of the year to have a product like this that you can just activate so easily with Siri and with your phone and stuff. It's really improved the quality of my life. That's the Hunter Symphony fan. Oh, man, you guys are going to laugh. I should have mentioned this right from the top. One of the products that I wanted to say was one of my favorite of this year, my 2013 MacBook Pro, baby. It's still going strong. It's still got it. It's still working. It's still pumping out the audio files. It's still pumping out the video files. And I just wanted to acknowledge that Apple made a really great product. And I love this product. It's still got the glowing Apple logo that I love. It's still got the MagSafe that I love. It's still got a SD card slot, which I love and use all the time. Now, I'm not saying anything about new computers. I'm just thankful that this computer has been so reliable and it served me so well all this time. I mean, it's been 4 years and this computer's still running strong. You never have to restart it. It doesn't get a blue screen of death and it's just rock solid reliable. I mean, I've pumped out so many shows on this machine. I've pumped out YouTube episodes on this machine. It just keeps doing its thing, and I love it for that. So I wanted to acknowledge that I love my MacBook Pro. I love it. And if I can only have one gadget in my life, one gadget, this would be the gadget. It'd just be me and my MacBook Pro. I don't need my family. I don't need my car. No, I'm just joking. This is the gadget that I love, and it has a special place in my heart. Okay. The other thing I wanted to point out, the other gadget I wanted to mention, which I thought was very cool, the Fender GT 200, which is an iOS, well, It's a smart amplifier for your electric guitar, and you can control it with your iOS device. It is a really cool amp. I've gotten to play with this thing a ton. It sounds great. You can control the sound with all these different digital models that Fender has built in, but you can also download models from via the Fender Tone app that other users have created, so you can make your electric guitar sound like Prince or like Slash or like so many other of your favorite guitarists. Very cool product. It's pretty inexpensive too. You know, amps can be expensive. You can get the Fender GT200, which is the 200 watt model of this amp. I think it's $600, and it comes with a foot pedal that you can use for the digital looper that's built in, so you can use this thing as a looper and play over your own licks. Very cool. They also make them in smaller models, the GT100 and the GT40, which I think is like maybe 400 and then maybe 250 respectively. I don't remember exactly how much those cost. Very cool product. One of the ones that stood out to me this year. Let's see here. Okay, got one more that I wanted to mention. The Rhino Shield Crash Guard bumper case for iPhone X and iPhone 8 and iPhone 7. This is one of my favorite iPhone cases that's out there. It is a true, honest-to-goodness bumper case. I know I've talked about these before, but they sent me one for the iPhone X, and I just love it, man. It goes around your iPhone, but the back is still exposed, and the front is exposed, obviously, so you still get to experience the beauty of your iPhone. And yet, it's providing an ample amount of protection. I actually just dropped my iPhone X the other day. Not a mark, not a blemish.
Nice.
The bumper case protected it from the fall, and it came
right
out unscathed.
Back up into your hands?
What's that?
Did it bounce right back up into your hands?
It landed in my pocket, Leander. And it hugged my leg. And I was like, oh, welcome back, friend. And it's kind of rubbery, so it makes it easier to hold your iPhone, and it still keeps the buttons clicky. A lot of cases don't do that. You put a case on your iPhone, and the buttons become mushy and gross. And man, let's be silent for a second. Let me just do the clicking real fast. Can you guys hear that? No, you can't hear it.
Sounds like a gerbil eating something.
Well, that's actually my gerbil that's eating something.
I see.
That's Herman, my gerbil. No, it keeps the buttons super clicky and allows you to enjoy the beauty that Johnny Ive made just for you. Don't slap some 25-cent piece of cheap back alley Shanghai plastic crap on your iPhone. You need to put the best on your iPhone X. Your iPhone X deserves the best. And hey, so do you, my friends. And with that, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. We've gone, what is the show? It's been like 2 hours so far. I don't even know how long
it's been. Best half hour, 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear.
Well, it's like we always say. There's approximately 30 minutes of great Apple conversation within a two-hour episode. If you listen to the whole thing, you get 30 minutes of great Apple conversation. The rest, honestly, we could cut it out. Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our mega list. I had no idea you guys were going to come strapped with so many great products. We'll include links to all these things in the show notes if you want to check them out. If you enjoyed this Best of 2017 segment, come back next week. We're going to have another one. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but it's going to be so engaging and so gripping. You're not going to want to miss it. And of course, all the week's best Apple news. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about your favorite gadgets or talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned in today's show, you can come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every single Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you want to take this one?
I thought still so. He's taking off for Cabrillo this time. He's probably whizzing off on his
he whizzed off on his one wheel.
One wheel. Clams,
like, he's on his way to get a burrito from Chipotle. No, mute on, mute off. We can't hear you, Buster. Okay, you've missed your chance. Lewis, give me what I'm looking for here.
Next time.
That was good. That's exactly what we needed. Thank you. What happened to Buster? Fell off his one wheel. Buster fell off his one wheel. He's lying there dying, and we're sitting here making fun of him.
Booster.
What's up?
Oh, look who it is. It's Booster. My best friend in all of East Berlin.
I was in West Berlin, not East.
Oh, East Berlin was the cool part to be in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
When were you in Berlin?
Oh, when was I in Berlin?
Not you, Buster.
I've never been to Berlin.
Oh.
I'm sure you've been there, right, Lander?
I haven't, actually. No, I always wanted to go.
Oh, man, you would love Berlin. Oh, it's totally your style.
Yeah. No, I know I would.
It's cool. It's like artist zones and pubs and that type of thing.
Yeah, it's a cool place to be, right?
Oh, man, it's probably one of the cool cities I've been to. Yeah. And you can just, if you see someone in the street that you don't like, you can just fight them.
Why would you do that?
That's just to be expected. That's how the Germans do it over there.
I like Germans, though, you know?
I do, too, but you know, like, if someone looks at you the wrong way?
Sometimes you got to set them straight.
Yeah.
It sounds more like London.
At least the neighborhoods you lived in.
Yeah, it is. It was like that. You know, every time we went out, there would be a fight, sometimes involving us.
Like, actually, mostly involving us. Other people didn't seem to do that. It's mainly just us.
Honestly, it wasn't. It was just, there would always be a fight, and... Every fucking night we went out, you know, every time we go in the pub out in London, there'd be a fight sometime during the night.
I've never really been in a fight. There was a couple times in junior high, people tried to fight me, and I pretended I knew Kung Fu, and I would try to jump kick them.
Don't attack the nerd! He knows Kung Fu!
Which, thinking back on it, that's so cliche. That's what happens in, like, every movie.
Some did you do kid the snake and crane?
I never did that one, but I definitely tried to jump kick a few guys. I think I landed. One of them once, and I hit the guy into a minivan.
Really, and that ended the fight?
Yeah, but it was just a scuffle. It wasn't anything. It wasn't anything big. And there's just some dudes that just like to fight. I remember one time in high school, we're in the locker room, and I was talking to somebody else, and this dude who I didn't even know. Walked up to me and started getting in my face and told me he didn't like the way that I smiled, that I smiled too much.
That's true.
He tried to start a fight with me.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
So I headbutted him.
Did you really?
No. I cried. I told the teacher.
He smashed your face into a
No, he didn't do crap, man. He was all bark, no bite. Huh. He didn't do anything. I don't remember what happened.
That's
probably because
I felt sorry for you when you wet your pants.
It's probably when I busted my shirt off and he saw my 12-pack and he was like, oh, snap.
In the locker room.
That guy's going to crawl inside my butthole, punch my kidneys around.
Well, I hated the locker room. It's really just brought back a flood of memories.
Oh, really? Your bad locker room?
I was the only kid that had pubic hair.
Well, that was intentional, right?
No. And then the gym teacher would always stand there and watch you. He'd watch you take a shower.
What?
Total pervert, yeah.
Man, okay. He's like, hey, nice pubes. What?
What happened to
I like
pubes,
the way you
style
those.
What do you mean?
Well, I remember one time that I was in that critical moment of pulling my underpants on, you know, after getting out of the shower or something like that. So the towel's down and the underpants are coming up. There's a moment of vulnerability. And suddenly the door to the changing room came flying open. There's about six girls standing right there. And they all, like, they looked shocked and then they started pointing and laughing. Katie's got no pubes! It was awful. And then they were teasing me afterwards.
Oh, man.
This is not going out to the public, is it?
Well, the pubes part is.